Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When you have an R next to your name, there's certain people, if I walked across the ocean, they'd say DeSantis can't swim. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. So you just, that's you put that
you
in the
can.
Bank. You under, no, I can't swim. Yeah, exactly. So you just put that away. That's just what it is. So you can't let that really do. So most of the criticism is partisan based.
Yeah, no, if, I love that line. If I walked across the ocean, the news reports would say he can't swim because he's walking on water, not swimming. So the interpretation would be so negative to find a problem would be obviously can't swim. That's why he has to walk on water.
Do you know what Mark Twain said about analyzing jokes and dissecting frogs?
Go on.
When you tear them apart, you kill them.
Well, you know, it took me three passes on that joke to get it the first time. So
dissected a lot of frogs.
I have dissected a lot of frogs. So, no, he's right, though, right? Look at the way it's bizarre. And at some point, you know, you figure that the national news would get DeSantis in Florida right, at least some of the time. It's so consistently wrong that it's either they're really, really dumb or trying really hard.
Corporate media in particular, they've always been biased. I mean, you've worked in this, you know. But since Trump, I think they're totally off the rails. They don't believe in facts. It's all partisan narratives. Day after day, they're basically massive corporations that are lying and gaslighting people for profit. So they obviously have attacked me a lot over the last year. But I also take comfort in the fact I think most Americans reject media narratives.
I love that gaslighting note because the whole idea is that if you deliver fake news straight, you make the recipients, even when you know the truth, you're like, do I really know what I'm thinking here? Well, yeah, you got to hold on to it despite the nonsense, right? And it was kind of interesting hearing him talk with Newsmax. Sean Spicer was the one that was kind of hosting this town hall that he did, talking about Casey and his relationship with his wife and how they met, I guess, golfing. And in case you don't know the background, she used to be a TV reporter down in South Florida.
So it's interesting. We met. I was a naval officer. I was at the time prosecuting cases for Navy JAG. She was a local crime reporter for a TV station. So we hit it off. She'd call me and say, hey, I'm watching a trial. What does this mean? What does that mean? So I was able to help her early on.
Yeah, kind of explain those things about trials to her, which makes sense. But she's now doing him the reverse favor of her background is in TV and media and communications, right?
And then now as we got into where I'm now on TV and stuff, what she understands, I think, is, look, you're right on the policy. You can get this policy right, sign this bill. But so what? What does that mean for people's lives? And you can never lose sight of the fact it's not about just signing a bill or a budget item or that. What does that mean?
Connecting it with people's lives. What does this mean for them? And I am sure having a wife whose background is in television broadcasting has been enormously helpful to him in teaching him what to say, what not to say, how to say it, when to smile, when not to smile, when not to touch your forehead, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And also, and this is, again, not just because she's a TV reporter, but connecting the right policy, because he's more of a, he's a lawyer, right? So he's a heartless, soulless logician. I mean, I exaggerate, but you get the point. Lawyers, a lot of times, philosophers, we have the same problem. We sometimes, you know, we see the truth of a thing and we know the arguments for the thing, and then we forget that most people don't think that way. So you have to explain it in a different way that connects with people aside from the logic or the being rightness or the evidence.
She really understands we're in this not just to hold an office, not just because, you know, people say, you know, you have a title, but what effect can you make in a positive way on people's lives and tell those stories? That's really, I think, what resonates with folks.
Absolutely. Tell those stories. Tell in a way that make people understand. And don't just give them the policy, the argument. Don't be a wonk. Wonks are persuasive to other wonks, and there are not many of us around. You have to learn how to tell a little bit differently. Now, it's kind of interesting because this is a theme that he's had before. This is not new information, but it is a theme that he comes back to a lot. The idea of vocational education, non-traditional college university as a pathway to financial success and prosperity in the United States.
But I think a lot of my generation was sold a bill of goods saying, unless you go to a four-year brick and ivy college, you're not going to be successful. That's not true, okay? And if you are able...
He's right. It's like this magic formula that people believe in. And look, I taught college. I believe in college. I just don't believe in it for everybody. And I don't overinflate the significance of getting a college degree towards getting great success, right? Maybe, maybe not. How many highly educated, so-called certified people do you know who are struggling to get by? How many people who didn't go through that process are doing fantastic? What are the odds? Okay, but you got to do a cost-benefit analysis. And it's just not the path for everybody. And not because they're not capable, because it's not the best path for everybody.
But I also think there are a lot of these skills that used to be taught many, many decades ago. And then it kind of fell out of favor because the K-12 schools, particularly the high school, said, look, all our mission is to get everyone in college. Well, you got a generation of kids that went deep into debt. They get a degree in zombie studies from Shoehorn University. And they wonder why the heavens aren't parting for them when they get out, because they were told you just needed that piece of paper.
Hey, I don't know why he's got to be down on Shoehorn. Go Laces! He's...
I thought they changed the name to the Aglets now.
Zombie studies from Shoehorn University. That's great.
And what we try to say is, look, a four-year brick and ivy university is one way where you can get knowledge and skills needed to succeed, but it's not the only way. And for many people, it's not the best way. I have people getting credentialed in high school in welding and in some of these things. By the time they're like 22 years old, they're making six-figure salaries. And guess what? They have no debt. No debt at all. So,
and what are the professions that are in demand right now that you're paying even more so because of the pandemic? I mean, you know, it's those kinds of things that if you can get some of those one of those vocational certifications, and especially now with all of the the career academies that we have in Escambia and Santa Rosa, this really is a great way for an awful lot of people. And again, not because they can't do college, but because they'd be dumb to do college. It's not that they can't do college because they're dumb. It's that they'd be dumb if they chose college. It's not a good alternative for everybody. It's not for everybody. 616 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Paul Stadden is in this morning for Davis Allen, who is on assignment. That's actually technically true. He's on assignment in Destin this morning.
We will be kind of similar to last year. We still are working with smaller numbers of kids this year. We're in the 30 to 36 range at each facility. So a lot of that has to do with staffing and being able to keep the kids in groups of 10 or less. So we still want to follow that guideline from before. As you know, children under 12 are not able to be vaccinated yet, or at least, you know, it hasn't been CDC approved. So most people are not having young children vaccinated. So we're still going to encourage mask wearing. We still have our COVID-19 sanitizing and cleaning measures in place. So it's going to be similar to last year. So hopefully we'll actually get through the whole summer of summer camp this year.
I'd love to see that. That's Tanya Vaden with Parks and Rec from the city of Pensacola yesterday during the press conference. The mayor was asked about community centers, and Brian Cooper, who's the park director, said, hey, Tanya's here. She can do this. Which she's fantastic. She did. 622 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Israel getting new weapons worth nearly $750 million.
The Washington Post reports a $735 million weapon sale has been approved by President Biden's administration. The paper also says Congress was notified earlier this month. It comes amid ongoing violence in the region between Israel and the Palestinians. The fighting has resulted in hundreds of deaths.
That's Tom Roberts reporting. The president touring Ford's Rogue Electric Vehicle Center in Dearborn, Michigan today. Ford's going to be hiring 200 workers for that factory that will build the electric F-150 Lightning starting next year. An evangelical ministry in Jerusalem donating bomb shelters to protect communities near the Gaza border. The International Christian Embassy donated 9 portable bomb shelters, saying it wanted to do something positive to help Israel as fighting with Hamas continues.
I still really can't wrap my brain around the electric F-150.
It's kind of like the electric Mustang.
Right. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the silent pipe save lives kind of concept. That's the idea. Is that the mantra of the new green energy people is, silent pipe save lives? Because, do they simulate the noise? Do you at least get the joy of the loud truck's feel, or do you get none of that?
I could actually discuss this with you if you're actually interested.
Yeah, go on, Paul. I have you on for all your obscure knowledge.
Fair enough. So the Mustang Mach-E, there was actually a rally version that was made for Ken Block that had 1,400 horsepower, and he had speakers installed outside of the vehicle so he could simulate any sound he wanted. Car and driver suggested blasting Van Halen, but he could do anything. That's the thing about, electric motors are going to take over for a couple of reasons. Number one, internal combustion engines are very, very complicated, and electric motors are not, so the maintenance costs are incredibly low. The fact that you can charge them anywhere from a home outlet, it's just super convenient. And the fact
and when Biden gets his way, every place on the road. Go ahead.
Every place on the road. And plus, the torque is unreal and instantaneous. The quickest cars on the road.
That's one of the parts. The instant torque is amazing.
If you've ever ridden in a Tesla or a Porsche Taycan or a really high-powered electric vehicle, it is like being launched from a rocket.
I have to assume that the primary engineering task is building limits on the torque applied quickly so that you don't bend the gears, you don't bend the machinery in the process of so quickly applying. I got to imagine that's one of the key constraints.
You have to. That's why aftermarket electric motors you put in hot rods and stuff, you have to be, it's like there are warnings, like you have to make sure your transmission can handle this or else you're going to have a little pile of gear dust in the bottom of your transition.
Exactly, which is not good. So what's the end result? Did they play the music, or did they play pipe sounds? Don't leave me hanging on this.
They didn't take his Van Halen suggestion, unfortunately. But
the silent Mustang is completely unsatisfying. The same thing with they're making the electric Harley, all that kind of stuff.
And there's already press. BMW M cars have been for years playing artificial sounds through this internal speaker system, as opposed to doing the natural sound out of the exhaust for the people in the car. So there's no reason in the world that you couldn't have
a Ferrari. Virtual reality.
It's virtual reality. When electric cars will be interesting. Is when
if you cannot wake the neighbors, it's not real.
That's right.
6:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Five Flags for Toma hosting the first cornhole tournament Saturday, May 22nd, noon at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. You can get more information at newsradio923.com. Speaking of Harleys, Hogfest is back at Harley-Davidson of Pensacola June 19th. You can possibly win a 2021 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy valued at over $20,000. NortheastSertoma.com for more information. And Saturday, June 12th, 12 to 2, first ever big scoop drive through at the Maritime Park Roundabout. $10 per car for Big Sisters and Big Brothers of Northwest Florida. Really good time for that. Paul Stadden is sitting in for Davis Allen for a couple of days with traffic on the fives.
Starting to see traffic pick up right now, going from 98 onto Garcon Point Bridge, as well as northbound just past the toll plaza on Garcon Point. Starting to see traffic pick up around Avalon Boulevard and I-10. I'm also seeing traffic pick up southbound 29 around 10, as well as if you're driving through Ferry Pass right now, especially on North Davis Highway, right around where 10 and Olive Baptist are. So if you're driving through these areas, you're seeing some increased pickups, but it's still not terrible. Now is the time to get out if you need to get anywhere. You see anything on the roads causing a problem? Let me know. 262-6111 with your traffic on the fives. I'm Paul Stadden.
Warmer temperatures, spring rains. You know what it's been like recently. That means what? Mosquitoes. I know. Just don't think about it, but they're out there, and they're out there in force, and the only way to really control them is to disrupt the life cycle. Well, NSEC has a monthly program that does this by eliminating the breeding areas and by treating the adult mosquitoes where they already are living and hiding. Now, other companies, they promise to treat you every 20 or 21 days, and NSEC has a view on this. They say, look, there's no reason to treat more frequently if it doesn't actually produce better results. It just produces more costs. So who does that help? So they come out once a month. So you only get 12 in a year, but that's enough. That's why they guarantee the results, right? There's no reason to have more other than more cost, which who does that benefit? So right now you get your first treatment free with any new annual agreement. That's at nsec.net. Also, NSEC is hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County. There's great pay and benefits, 401k, health insurance, and they say it's a career, not just a job. There's opportunities for growth. Long-term, you can apply at workwithnsec.com. Made a little bit of news recently, the idea that you would have a choice in South Carolina, that they would have the choice between the electric chair and the firing squad. And people have kind of made a big deal out of this, you know, well, what a wonderful choice you give them. No, they already give them a choice. The choice between the electric chair, if they're convicted and all their appeals have been exhausted, or injection. Well, the problem is they're choosing injection, but the state doesn't have any functional injection chemicals to use, and so they're choosing something that doesn't exist. So now they're giving them a different choice. You know, pick the one that you prefer the most, right? And so this is the idea, is to actually be executing the people who are due for execution. So they already have a choice. It's not a novel situation that would give them an option. You're just giving them an option among things that you actually can deliver.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with your Money Now. California Governor Gavin Newsom has proposed spending an additional $11 billion on transportation improvements in the state, including $4.2 billion to complete construction on the first portion of a high-speed rail system in the Central Valley, to advance work to launch the system service between Merced and Bakersfield, and to advance planning and design for the entire project. Pizza Hut is relaunching Camp Book It, an online program that parents can use to help with summer reading. Book It was a reading program developed in the mid-80s that rewarded children who read a certain number of books with pizza. By the 90s, the program had become a national phenomenon and was a regular part of classroom curriculums where kids could earn pizza or even a pizza party if they hit certain goals. The online program will provide parents and students with reading goals. When students hit certain goals, they will be rewarded with a certificate for a free personal pizza. On Wall Street, futures are higher after stocks closed modestly lower yesterday. That's your Money Now.
My address is Hollis T. Williams Park, and I just wanted to say that I really believe that you should, you know, give us 3 months to find something, because some of us I have a lot of friends that stay out there, man. And we really don't have nowhere to go, you know. It's expensive out there.
Now, this was from the city council meeting, not the most recent one, but prior to that. I just haven't had a real chance in the show to talk about this. The several of the residents underneath I-110 at the homeless encampment there, the in the Hollis T. Williams area that's going to all be redeveloped eventually. You know, there's a homeless camp under there, in case you haven't seen it. And this is Eli Rosato talking about this, because the question was, you know, would the city evict those people? Would they be towing cars? This had become kind of a news story a couple of weeks ago. And so several of the residents of that camp showed up to talk at the city council meeting and to basically plead to not be evicted.
I'm Billy Williamson. I stay at the park too. Most of us don't have anywhere to go. I've got no family. My parents have passed away. I grew up in foster care. I did some little choices in my life that led me, you know, down the wrong path, and I'm really trying to clean up my situation, and like, I literally have nowhere to go.
I have nowhere else to go other than there. That was Billy Williamson, Catherine Loper.
My name's Catherine Loper, and I'm part of the park down there underneath the Icon Bridge. I don't know about you guys, but I've had a rough life. I'm still here. I'm still standing here. I'm still fighting. I've survived cancer. I'm on disability. I can't afford rent. I'm by myself. I don't have family. My kids have turned from me. Everything. The only thing I have is this place. These people took me in like I was their family. They fed me. They helped clothe me.
These people have done nothing wrong.
So that's become like an adoptive family to her, these folks. And she says, look, compared to some of the other camps, it was this one was different and safer.
Now, on the outside of this, there is Beggs Lane. There are other camps out here. Okay, they are dangerous. I've been set afire. I have had my tent taken from me, my personal belongings taken from me because I wouldn't associate with certain drugs, because I wouldn't purchase certain things, because I wouldn't do as the community in that area did. I found refuge here just days ago, and I feel safe. They have given me refuge, and I thank them and everybody that's allowed that place to be there. Please, if you can, give them a 90-day extension and any kind of help you can give them. They deserve it. They really do.
You say, Andrew, why are you playing all of these sound bites from these people? Because they're citizens, too. And I think sometimes it's easy to treat a sort of a social problem like homelessness as if it's a problem as opposed to a label for a group of people who are citizens, who are our fellow man and woman, who are our neighbors, who we should care about and we should take seriously and we should think about. And, you know, it's almost Nietzsche, the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. One of his ideas was that people take power over something by naming it. And that by naming it to a certain degree, you're able to distance yourself from it because you feel like you've solved a thing. If you can apply a label to it, that's a form of power. Naming is powerful. And so sometimes, you know, the way we kind of lie to ourselves into thinking we've solved homelessness, or at least it's a problem we don't have to, is just by calling it that. And it really is, you know, and I know Paula is very much more knowledgeable about this than I am, having worked with Waterfront for so long. You know, it's not just one problem, obviously. It is a wide array of problems, everything from mental illness to drug addiction to just depression and, you know, PTSD and people who make a lifestyle choice and criminal mindset. I mean, there's so much. There are all kinds of different things. And it's not like in each particular homeless person doesn't represent all of that ever. They represent one person's slice of that. And so just to put this in perspective, this is Tim Arney. He was talking at the city council meeting as well, basically explaining kind of what he does to make a living.
My name is Timothy Arney, and I do DoorDash for a living, and I sleep in my car at night, and I am a resident of the William T. Hollis, is that right?
Hollis T. Williams.
Oh, I see over there.
You got it, yeah.
All right, underneath Highway 110
so
there.
So he does DoorDash and sleeps in his car. There are people who sleep in their cars all over the city, all over these counties. There are people who live in the woods, there are people who sleep in their cars, there are people who sleep in tents, all over, several hundred. Okay, depending on which count, and we're kind of waiting on the official point in time count that's supposed to come out basically today, but, you know, somewhere upwards of maybe 800, maybe more than that. Now, here's the thing. By the way, the city council voted for a moratorium on evicting those people underneath 110, 7-0 when they did this. Now, I had not been down to that particular homeless camp, and you know me, I always like to see a thing for myself. So I went down. Over the weekend, I went down and looked around. And what you might not know is that there are several porta-potties that the city has put up there, several hand-washing stations the city has put up there. And you know when you go to a parade on Palafox and you have those gray metal barricades that the crowd stand on the other side of from the participants in the parade? There's a full perimeter of those around this space that's, I don't know, it's maybe the size of a football field or a soccer pitch. It's something in that vicinity, sidewise. And then there's one entry point. And inside that perimeter is where the homeless folks are supposed to stay in their tents. And there's maybe 20 or so tents inside. And then outside of that perimeter, there's another like 15 or 20 tents, people who are staying outside. There's a truck parked inside, I think a pickup, and there's a couple of cars parked around. So I went down to look. And I mean, you can jump over the barricade, okay, obviously. So I went to look, and I'll tell you what happened to me is as I was filming on public land with my Edges News Radio, I had some guys come up to me, and at first it was kind of kind talking, and it got to be a little bit more than that over the course of time.
I'm with News Radio. We talk. I'm Andrew McKay. How you doing?
Where you feel?
What's that?
Where you driving a truck? Where you riding in?
Oh, just a car. Just a regular car. So.
Where you going? Where you going? Well, hold on.
Anyway, you guys feel safe down here?
Man, I'm in for no radio, man. You get on my mind.
Okay, they're right over there. Thanks, guys.
So in case you didn't understand all of that, first of all, they wanted to know where my car was. And that's because they wanted to know if it was an official car, like, you know, Channel 3 would have. And then they wanted to know, you know, see my badge or whatever. And again, this is public land, right? So, and I'm always trying to avoid a confrontation. They didn't believe I was with the radio station. And they said, we're going to call the cops on you, which is kind of like, well, you know, which of my friends are you going to call? You know, but the police station is, I mean, it's a stone's throw away, right? So I just kind of walked around and went to look at the rest of the area. And as I did, they were kind of communicating with themselves, and they got the attention of another guy from inside, and they were kind of coming to chase me off. Now, they were not super aggressive about it, and it wasn't really all that dangerous of a situation, but I left because I did not feel particularly safe, and also because, you know, avoid a problem, right? I'm not there to make news. I'm there to just kind of show the story. And I even said to him, I said, you know, hey, we've been pretty supportive of your cause generally. You know, you might reconsider the way you approach me. But they were kind of aggressive, mildly. And then I went around because I was looking at the mural that was over there on the west side of Tarragona. And I happened to park my car over there as I was getting a shot of the mural. And I saw some more commotion. I looked, and they had come across the barricades on the other side coming towards my car to come make sure that I wasn't doing what I was doing. And I thought, okay, well, this is not the best situation. And so what should you do with them? What should you have with them underneath 110? Is there a place for them to go other than that? I don't know. I don't have good answers for any of these questions. And I don't really love telling this story about a couple of people representing that camp, but when they showed up at City Hall, there was one tone. When I was down there trying to just tell the truth about their situation, there was another tone. For these particular individuals, that's not necessarily everybody, but I felt like if I didn't tell you that story, then I would be kind of hiding that part of the truth from you. 647 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. 55! National average for gallon gas, 304. Florida, 288. San Francisco has 420. Houston, Texas has 263. And Navarre this morning, 296 east and west at the Walmarts. If you're in Midway, 293 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. In Milton this morning, 276 at the CEFCO. That is significantly cheaper than everybody else. 292 in Pea Ridge and 292 if you head over through Pace into Pensacola, where it's 284 on 9 Mile at the Walmart there, 284 on US 29 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart there, and then coming in from the southwest side, 289 at the TNC on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with your lowest out-the-door price and your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden confirming plans to share millions of coronavirus vaccine doses with other nations.
President Biden also responding to international criticism that the U.S. is not doing enough to help other countries stop COVID and the variants that could also threaten Americans, announcing the U.S. will ship another 20 million doses overseas, in all 80 million doses to other countries.
That's NBC's Tom Costello. Life-threatening flash flooding endangering some residents along the Gulf Coast. Hazardous weather outlook for parts of Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Texas. Yesterday, there was a flash flood emergency in Lake Charles, Louisiana. They got up to a foot of rain yesterday. New cryptocurrency looking to take down CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk. It's called Stop Elon. as its name implies, it aims to put the brakes on his ability to sway the Bitcoin market, created after his comments about Bitcoin caused massive sell-offs, sending Bitcoin prices plunging. Stop Elon.
That's funny. Wait, not Bitcoin, though, Dogecoin, right? Wasn't it Dogecoin?
Yeah, I thought it was Dogecoin.
Yeah, not Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Interesting. Yeah, but if it's not based on a meme, it's not real.
That's true.
Mark, thanks so much for the update. 6:54, time for a quick shot of sports. Bob Baffert has been suspended from entering Medina Spirit and other horses at Belmont Park, all New York racetracks, during the investigation into what happened in Kentucky during the Derby. The ban includes races at Belmont, with Belmont Stakes coming up June 5th. Although, of course, you know, he says, no, we didn't do it. Time will tell. Garrett Cole, remember we talked about this yesterday, that pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers had set the longest streak of 58 strikeouts without having a walk to begin the season? Well, that didn't last long. Within a week, Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole, he went to 61. So he has now set, and you know, issued a walk. 61 for the longest streak was set. 58 was set last on Thursday, and then 61 is just set. Kevin Pillar, a New York Mets player, after getting hit by that fastball in the face, bloodied his face. He looks like he might be okay. Hopefully, God, fingers crossed, terrible injury. Did manage to get off the field without having to be carried off, and he's going to undergo a CT scan. We'll know more today. And in Los Angeles,
third. That's at third, Muncy at first on an 0-2. He hits a ground ball base hit into center field. Albert Pujols brings home Mookie Betts for the Los Angeles Dodgers. How cool.
Yeah, as a Cardinals fan, it's not that cool. But anyway, Albert Pujols in his new blue and white playing for the Dodgers across the street from where he used to play for the Angels. He gets his first RBI in a game where the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks. So that's now three teams that he's hit RBIs for. 6:56, that's your quick shot of sports. Future News. Paul Stadden sitting in for Davis Allen this morning. We tell you the truth before it's true. Will people still be confused now that even Target has given up the mask mandate? Will people still be confused about when they can and when they can't wear masks?
Well, since I'm confused, yes.
There will always be confused people, especially when news media keeps telling people, this is so confusing. It's not really. The gaming deal, the promise to future negotiate for portable devices for an expansion of gaming is off the table. Will the rest of the deal go through?
I don't think so.
I think that it will. Will we have to get on a scale before we start boarding planes? This is a proposal because of the increased obesity in Americans and the problem of flying with that.
I hope not. I'm kind of fat now.
No.